This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Law enforcement scrambling to find the killer of Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old leader of the most powerful conservative youth organization in the country, Turning Point USA. Kirk was answering questions from the crowd at a rally on the campus of Utah Valley University when a bullet hit him in the neck, killing him.
We were like 15 feet away, and I thought like the shot was like a firecracker or something. It just didn't seem real.
Mia Grant, who was at that rally, President Trump calling Charlie Kirk a good friend and calling for flags to be flown at half-mast in honor of him. Official commemorations are beginning this hour in New York City and at the Pentagon, marking 24 years since the 9/11 attacks. A ceremony begins next hour in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 went down. We are finding out this hour new inflation numbers, including on the Consumer Price Index. The Fed meets next week to decide on interest rates. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Republicans are putting together a package of bills to reform education in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today than there were 20 years ago.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some of the Republicans' proposals have already been brought up in the legislature in past sessions and failed. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82. 85 on Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoons. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
I've got a little personal business to attend to, but don't worry. We've got a special re-airing of Girls Rock and then a best of curated just for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, September 11th. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot has the day off, and she'll be off tomorrow as well, getting into a long weekend. A foggy start to her long weekend. There's a dense fog advisory out until at least 9 o'clock for much of the western half of Wisconsin. Stick around to your local Civic Media station for your own local forecast. Let's see. Normally, it's around 7:07 in the morning, not 8:07, that we hear from Rob in Tigerton, but he pops up on YouTube now to say, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and foggy and 58 degrees. I went to Clintonville to get supplies for my CPAP machine and had homemade pizza at my sister Lori's house in Caroline. He says, I didn't agree about the politics of Charlie Kirk, but it makes it heartbreaking that he has a wife and two very young children who will not see their father growing up. My nephew Jim passed away from cancer in 2009. He was 32 years old, married, and had a one-year-old daughter that my sister Lori was talking about. He says, we need to respect people regardless of their political beliefs. We just need to sit down and listen to one another and exchange ideas. And as to why we're only hearing from him now, he concludes with, I overslept this morning. Well, get in line, because Parker Olson has been excelling at that this week. We have a weekly planning meeting for the show here Wednesday afternoons. And, we take a roll call. We do take attendance, but Mr. Olson was nowhere to be found. So you'll recall that yesterday morning, he slept through his alarms and got to the station, shortly before the show began. So he was, he was clearly addicted to the sleep and needed more of it, got what he could yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it was tough. I came home early from work because I knew I was going to be working at night for Idea Fest. So I thought, I'll take a nap during the day and I'll set an alarm for our show meeting. And that alarm never happened.
You have to slide the little thing over till it turns green.
And I didn't even make the alarm. I just fell asleep.
Yeah, no, but understandable. It's fodder for joshing more than anything else, because things go on. There's still somebody on the radio willing to talk, and if you're not there, and if I'm not there, Chad Holmes will step in and fill the void. We got a bunch of people who can fill the void anytime. Chad, who's never overslept in his life ever.
I overslept twice last week. And I'm not kidding you. That was like the first time in many years, and it happened twice last week. It happened the day after Labor Day. I couldn't sleep after Labor Day for some reason. I was like, I couldn't sleep. And I finally, and I look at my clock, it's about 20 minutes before I'm supposed to get up and start getting ready. And then I fell asleep, and then I woke up and it was like I was late. And then a couple of days later, I set the alarm, because I had not been setting the alarm. I said, I got to set the alarm. I set the alarm, but I set the alarm to PM and not AM. So twice in the same week, and that was not good. Good at all.
Yeah.
But as you said, there's always somebody. I have fortunately my producer here. He's sat in for my segment as I hurry my way in. So there's always somebody that's willing to get in front of that microphone.
That's right. Now you have been busy with the microphone. It is high school sports season. You got the big high school sports show as well. That was last night, correct? It's on Wednesdays.
That is correct.
All right. So you're getting set for this will be what, week three of the high school football season?
Week four already.
Is it week four already? Wow.
Just flies on by. I was saying that it gets late early in the season because it's really the fall sports season is quick. The winter sports season is a long season. It starts just before Thanksgiving and goes into about mid-March. And you have numerous holidays that come up, and it's a long season. But, boy, the football season, once it gets going, it goes by so very quickly.
Yeah, and the weather can change very quickly. We're still going to be in, I mean, it's going to be, it's foggy right now, but I sense that things are going to be borderline perfect for football tonight around Wisconsin. But, you know, got a couple of more weeks of this, and the folks will have the gloves out, you know, and a little heavier jacket.
I'm just glad tomorrow night's looking nice because I every week when I have a road game, I will contact the athletic director for the school that I'm going to. And I would think that this week I would have no problem because Wausau West is at DC Everest. And I'm happen to be the Wausau West announcer, but I happen to have to gone to school at DC Everest. And the athletic director went to Everest and graduated the year before I did. But no room in the inn for old Chad.
No room at the inn.
He's got to be. Uh-oh. He's got to sit outside tomorrow night. So I'm glad the weather is looking good.
Are you going to be on the roof or are you going to be on the sidelines?
I'm going to be at the top of the bleachers on the visitor side.
Oh, old school. The way our forefathers broadcast games from the top row of the visiting bleachers.
I tell you, because there have been nights where I've had either dealing with cold and wind or rain, and those are bad nights. Those are because you don't protect yourself. You protect the equipment.
Exactly.
The equipment is worth more than yours. That's what I've been told.
Exactly.
Yes, many a time.
Exactly.
Yep, you can be replaced. The equipment can't. Yep. So sacrifice the body if need be.
Hey, Pat, you asked me before the show if I want to talk about something. I'm going to talk about something positive here because it's been you depressed me when you read Derek Van Orden's
tweets last hour. I was just going to read a couple and I realized
I'm going to tie it in here.
All right.
It got me thinking a little bit because leadership is important. And we don't see very often where there's an opportunity to do, I think, what's right for a community or a country or anything like that. And this week it was, I don't know if I say I get surprised all that often, but I got surprised. It was actually late last week when it came down, like on Friday, that the mayor of Wausau, Doug Denny, who we've talked about quite a bit and at times have been critical of. And this week I said, hey, the mayor did something I think is positive for this community, and it was nominating the former mayor, and then the council a couple of nights ago approved it, Katie Rosenberg, to a position, a citizen position, on the Police and Fire Commission. And it sounds like a simple thing to do, but many of the folks that provided the financial support and provided the votes that got Doug Denny into office just over a year ago, I'm certain we're not pleased that he would do anything for Katie Rosenberg. Katie Rosenberg is much loved by many, but also, as you probably well know, is not well liked by many as well on the right. So I give credit to the mayor of Wausau, no matter how this occurred. I don't know how this actually went up from what I've heard and read that Katie Rosenberg did it the old-fashioned way. She didn't make a call to City Hall. She went to the City of Wausau website, which is how any of the citizens can go and apply for a position at one of the citizen positions on these commissions. She filled out the application, you know, in under what experiences that she may have that would be good for this position. Former mayor is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But I do give the mayor of Wausau credit for doing something that is bipartisan. And I said yesterday when I made a little commentary about this, about I'm not a big fan of just throwing out the word bipartisan. And I think you may have mentioned this in recent weeks, talking about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, which was sort of an empty statement because it was an infrastructure act that was pushed through by President Joe Biden and the Democrats, maybe with a couple of stray votes here or there, but it was not a bipartisan infrastructure act. It was an infrastructure act that was pushed through by the Democrats that had the power of the majority in both the Congress and in the White House at the time. So using the term bipartisan in an empty way, I am not a big fan of. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I felt as though this was something that was bipartisan. It was a mayor from one political persuasion saying that this person of another political persuasion, a political adversary in recent years, is somebody that can be useful on this commission. So you find those, you have to applaud it and you have to spotlight it because it's real.
It is sadly rare. I mean, just that gesture alone only draws a deeper contrast with Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature who have fired all manner of public servants by not approving their nominations, their members that they have fired from the Board of Regents and other commissions who were fellow legislators. And while you don't owe them the courtesy, you also should maybe be able to rise above your bitter partisanship when you're looking at the people who are serving. So again, you're being glass half full here, and I'm calling attention to the half empty part of it, but only because this is the world we live in now, that we have to call such attention to things that we used to take for granted because they are now the exception to a rule that is very much, you know, crush your enemies rather than have polite disagreements.
Well, and the thing about it is that, frankly, this morning, that's kind of the way I feel, in that we've all been, I mean, today's the anniversary of 9/11. And that's just one of the tragic events that have occurred in the course of American history and world history. And in these circumstances, and I would say that in the aftermath of a political assassination, you would look for leadership. And again, that's why I say leadership is important. When you hear what you said about, you know, your reading of those social media posts of Derek Van Orden, when you listen to what Donald Trump said in the Oval Office yesterday, it makes me wonder, what is the road path to any sort of engagement in coming together in fixing problems? Because I don't see any roadmap where Derek Van Orden is going to be a positive influence in fixing the overarching issue, which is, of course, the idea of violence in our political system. I guess I should go back and look. I can't imagine Derek Van Orden was this outraged when Melissa Hortman and her husband were assassinated.
In fact, made kind of a lighthearted dig at Governor Tim Walz, you know, based on politics, based on a mistaken belief about the suspect. So no, there was not something that came in kind from the congressman from Western Wisconsin. But again, he's talking to a particular constituency, not looking to bring people together. There is, you know, the comment sections have become, you know, just a bit of a cesspool today. One that came in just minutes ago saying, "You guys preach just as much hate as others. You're absolutely disgusting clowns."
So sure, this guy, sure, hey, let me jump in real fast.
Yeah.
If this gentleman is out there listening right now, is he admitting that, we promote hate, but you guys do it as well?
If you're saying just as much,
that's what he says. We may promote hate, but you guys do it too. Is that the high ground that this guy wants to stand on? I don't think that's really high ground.
I think that is a very excellent point to wrap up that part of the discussion and to get us back to sports here. From Chris in Appleton, who I believe is State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfine, says, "I'll cheer for an evergreen win to keep you warm."
She and I graduated the same year.
I did not know that.
Everest.
Oh.
So, yeah. So when she won, I was very happy. When she ran and came up just short, I was very unhappy. And I think that she is a wonderful public servant. And when I talk about, you know, what I just said about Derek Van Orden, you talk about somebody that will see a problem and try to work to a good solution. That's Kristen Dassler-Alfine. And Yep, she was. As I like to say, some of us who graduated in the DC Evers class of 89 have done great things, and other of us are talking on the radio.
Chad Holmes, catch him on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Thank you, Chad. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll have Sean O'Malley talking about the opening bell and Joe Zepecki yet here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once again, we got football tonight. The Green Bay Packers taking on the Washington Commanders at Lambeau Field. Pre-game coverage begins at 5 o'clock on stations around the Civic Media Radio Network. If you need more football, you've got the Badgers heading to Alabama. And what did Parker say? 20.5-point underdogs. That's why you listen to the games, because there's always the chance for that big upset. And Alabama, not the team they used to be. Coverage begins Saturday at 9 a.m. on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And the Brewers, meanwhile, they are off today. They have a series at home against the St. Louis Cardinals beginning tomorrow, pregame at 6:35. Let's talk about your money in the markets now with Sean O'Malley. And we're going to start, Sean, good morning, by talking about employment. How else to put this? Soft. This is a very, is soft the right word? If we were playing
Extremely soft is the right word. Soft and being revised as softer. There is a lot to report on that's happened in the last week here with respect to employment. First, we had non-farm payroll for August. Only 22,000 jobs were added. That is incredibly soft. Remember, I said anything below 100 is really kind of just treading water. So we are no longer treading water on a monthly basis there. But we also had some revisions. There were two right away with Friday's announcement. They revised July's numbers. Now, July's numbers actually went up by 6,000 to 79,000. So that was the good news. The bad news was that June's numbers were revised downward by 27,000 to negative 13,000 jobs for that month. That means that for the past 4 months reported, May, June, July, and August, the grand total of jobs, not in each month, but total across all 4 months, is 107,000 jobs. That is incredibly soft. But then, adding insult to injury this week, we had another revision, downward, of course, going prior to March of 2025 for the 12 months prior, and it was revised down by an aggregate 911,000 jobs. So almost a million jobs that just, we thought they happened, but they didn't.
Which, by the way, is a normal part of the process. I know the process appears to be tainted after Trump fired, you know, the person from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But again, the numbers here, they don't lie. And what they do is they say, look, even going back to the final year of the Biden administration, that things were a little softer than expected. You start by getting, you know, the estimated amount of hiring, but then later on, you go back and check what were the actual numbers of hiring, and that's the revision downward that we're talking about, right?
Correct. That's right. It's a little bit of a different impact because in that final 12 months, of the Biden administration and the first part of the Trump administration, the job ads were, you know, I'd say around 175,000 per month in aggregate. So, okay, you basically lost 75 of those. So you're down to about 100. Maybe a little over that on average per month, but that's a lot healthier picture than what you're looking at 4 months total with a very similar number.
Yes. I mean, soft then, amazingly soft due to recent events. And right. That would include things that continue growing the trade deficit, which again, the new president said he was going to address, but the trade deficit is, there's still a lot of work to do, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, that was the original excuse for putting the tariffs in place. So what's happening is that we're sort of seeing, instead of trying to use the tariffs to control the trade deficit is fluctuating wildly when the tariffs go on and off. So one of the big reasons we saw this July trade deficit being much larger than forecasted, it was $78.3 billion on expectations of $64.2 billion. So that's a 32.5% increase. And the reason is that businesses were scrambling to stockpile goods as the August tariffs were coming into effect. So basically what's happening is that businesses, being rational people and run by rational people, when they find out the tariffs are coming, they're going to order a bunch of inventory in advance before the tariffs hit and then just sort of go, you know, on life support with the after tariff environment, hoping that they will eventually be lifted and their business will be able to continue.
Instead, like you said, we continue to have the scrambling, and you have farmers that are impacted by these tariffs. Before we get ahead of ourselves and people start talking about, you know, bailouts and things like that, we have to look at the numbers as they are. And anybody involved in, you know, corn and soybeans and rice and so forth, these have not been easy times for them.
No. I mean, you've seen a lot of news stories out there about how a lot of these farmers in various states are, you know, they're having these prayer vigils that, you know, that something will come and help them and save them, because unfortunately the economic environment is not in their favor. Costs have gone up. We've talked about those. Fertilizer, fuel, seeds have all gone up. And part of the problem with the tariffs is that it's not just that it's more expensive necessarily due to counter tariffs to go and sell U.S. agricultural goods overseas, but in some cases, some countries are just boycotting the U.S. products entirely. Case in point is soybean farmers in the U.S. Normally, last year, they sold $12.8 billion of soybeans to China. Now, that soybean sales period is usually September to January, so some of them should have been occurring already. To date, zero. Not a single one. We'll see if that reverses itself, but it's not a good omen.
Again, for folks that might have missed it, last year, in the last season, China purchasing $12.8 billion in soybeans from the U.S. So far in this season, the number is zero.
And that's going to sting in some way, shape, or form. And if it includes, you know, bailout checks to farmers, that may make them whole or nearly whole. But all that does is drive up the deficits. We're talking to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets. We'll have a little bit more after the opening bell in just a sec. And then we will talk to Joe Zepecki about some of the headlines in the news as well. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. We've got a couple of them. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Hit subscribe up in the top banner. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Gas prices in Wisconsin stay under $3 per gallon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices took a slight dip in Wisconsin, dropping 2.2 cents over the last week. The average on Monday is $2.95 in the state. This is 7.9 cents per gallon higher than a month ago, but over 10 cents lower than this time last year. Prices have been volatile in the Midwest in recent weeks. A refinery in Indiana experienced a temporary outage because of severe weather. With the restart of BP's White refinery, Great Lakes states saw significant relief. The transition to winter gasoline is just a week away for most areas, and OPEC Plus announced an increase in oil production starting in October. This could help keep oil prices lower for longer.
Gas prices in La Crosse have also stayed under $3 per gallon this past week, dropping slightly from a week ago. The area organization that puts together honor flights for military veterans is seeking donations. Freedom Honor Flight will make its 33rd trip on September 13th to Washington, D.C. To date, the Freedom Honor Flight has taken over 3,200 veterans to the nation's capital from within a 100-mile radius of La Crosse. But now the group is seeking donations to continue the flights, which currently cost about $185,000. Over 600 veterans remain on a waiting list. To learn more or to donate, visit freedomhonorflight.org. Sunny skies will dominate the rest of the week, with highs today around 80 degrees in the cooler region. It'll inch upwards into the low 80s tomorrow and through the weekend into the mid-80s. By early next week, temperatures will stay in the low to mid-80s. Thunderstorm chances arrive early next week. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes we are better off as moviegoers when there are no huge blockbusters being released. True movie fans can take advantage of the variety that becomes available in theaters post-summer, and such is the case this weekend. This week's openers are headlined by Downton Abbey, the grand finale. The Crowley family finds themselves at the center of a public scandal as they move into the 1930s. I never really watched the show, so I don't have much of an opinion, but the film has a built-in fan base and a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're looking for something that is the exact opposite, check out The Long Walk, a thriller based on Stephen King's first novel. The film tells the story of a group of teenage boys taking part in a contest where they must maintain a certain walking speed or they get shot. Not for those seeking whimsy, but it is pulling a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And finally, the wait is over as the sequel to Spinal Tap, Spinal Tap 2, hits the big screen. No reviews are in, but none needed. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of fog early, otherwise mostly sunny skies to be expected. It'll be warm with highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 53. Even warmer on Friday with mostly sunny skies, a high of 82. 85 on Saturday. Right now, it's 57.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're recombobulating the news on Thursday. That's right. Dan Schaefer is here, and we're going to be talking about everything coming out of Wisconsin politics, including a huge announcement in the governor's race. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Got a couple of newsletters for you to consider subscribing to if you're not already. From Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson, who's now our correspondent on Capitol Hill, is Below the Beltway, his daily newsletter that you can find at beltway.news or couriernewsroom.com. And a little closer to home, if you're not already subscribing to my Sunday morning newsletter, looking at the week's political headlines, get on over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. It includes our question of the week, and this week, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on releasing the Epstein files? Did he see that he was named in there in a more damaging way that he had expected? Is he protecting somebody? Is he blackmailing somebody? Or is it all a hoax, as he claims? The first people to get to answer that are the folks that subscribe to our Sunday morning newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's get back in touch with Sean O'Malley here, who is a financial compliance, data governance, and risk management expert. He's a Hudson native, certified anti-money laundering specialist. He has worked with Citigroup, Ford Motor Credit, Deloitte & Touche, Morgan Stanley, and many more. And he is we are very honored to have him following some of the economic indicators for us. And Sean, as we talk about stagflation, the combination of inflation, higher inflation and lower employment, where are the new inflation figures showing us where we're at?
Well, Pat, the good news is they're right along with forecast expectations, but the bad news is it's up.
Okay.
So inflation continues to track upwards. Regular CPI was reported at 2.9%. Up from 2.7 in July. So that's definitely tracking upwards, moving sort of in line with what we're seeing with the personal consumption expenditure index, which is the one that the Fed actually watches more than the CPI. Core CPI, though, showed something interesting. It was up 3.1%. And one of the references there was that we're seeing higher food costs. And I'm sure a lot of people can attest to that based on their grocery bills. This is something that affects really everybody. So that's a troubling sign. We don't like to see food costs going up substantially due to the impact that that has on the everyday U.S. consumer. But the fact is, that's sort of what's happening right now.
So we've got to pick up where we were last week with Harry Truman and the one-handed economist. When we talk about the Federal Reserve and the next meeting about, on the one hand, looking at inflation, or on the other hand, looking at jobs, what are their choices, A and B here, when it comes to emphasizing one or the other?
Right. So if you want to combat inflation, you need to raise interest rates. If you want to combat low employment or soft employment, you've got to lower interest rates. Can't do both. So the Fed has a Fed Open Market Committee meeting next week on the 16th and 17th. We'll find out what happens. However, I can tell you based on, the secondary revision downward of the, 911,000 jobs down from up to and including March of 2025, that the odds makers are saying that the odds of a larger cut, more than just 25 basis points, which is 0.25%, they're saying the odds of going and having a 0.5% reduction have gone up due to the softer employment numbers. So clearly the market is expecting that the Federal Reserve will cut rates and address the employment situation rather than the inflation situation.
And of course, lead to all kinds of speculation about the political pressure coming from the White House as well. Sean O'Malley with your money in the markets after the opening bell. Sean, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, Pat.
All right. Again, a reminder, the Packers are playing tonight. And if you have a tough time finding the game on Amazon Prime or wherever it is here, You should catch it on the radio. Several civic media stations have it. Pre-game coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. 8:39 now the time, and let's bring in Joe Zepecki. And today is not our best day. It's 9/11, and there's a lot to say about that. There was, of course, a political murder yesterday in Utah. And then even closer to home, I have been where Joe and Melissa are, and that is having to say goodbye to a cherished family pet. My condolences, Joe. I know that this is not easy, and maybe you didn't even want to talk about it on the radio, but I just wanted to say for all of us who've had to be in your shoes that we're thinking of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's a terrible, terrible week, basically any way you slice it.
Yeah.
At home, in this country, thinking about, you know, those lives lost 24 years ago. This is not where anybody wants to be, but we're going to do our best because it is important that we talk about all of this stuff and hopefully make people smarter and give them some perspective and on at least two of those three things, two of those three tragedies, I'm prepared to offer some perspective of my own.
See, this is why it's always tough to come up with follow-up questions for you, because you say it all right the first time, that we need to talk through this and hope that people are a little smarter and get a little bit more perspective as a result of this. And, you know, the overarching theme needs to be and should be that political violence is never the answer. Violence is not politics. All of that. That should be the overarching theme that unites people across the political spectrum. Unfortunately, I thought we were going to spend a lot of time talking like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have people who are stoking this, who are driving the wedge deeper in the result. And it's not just the usual trolls and keyboard warriors. Okay. I could tolerate that. We've had a lot of them in the sandbox this morning who want to throw a fistful of sand and, you know, somehow that makes them feel better. It shouldn't, but that's who they are. But one of them is a member of Congress from Wisconsin, and Derek Van Orden's dozens of tweets stoking division, talking up violence and civil war, everything he pretends not to be when he's getting all this fluffy coverage from too many local media outlets, can't go without mention. He's not just another troll, Joe. This is somebody who his communication should be concerning to not just every voter in the 3rd Congressional District, but every person living in the 3rd District and in Wisconsin overall.
Yes, it is not appropriate. And I think the best way to approach comments like Mr. Van Orden's yesterday or Congresswoman Nancy Mace's is to try to show a little grace. And how I will choose to do that is to offer some perspective on how I have felt some of the other instances and occasions of political violence, going back to the attempted assassination of Gabby Giffords, a Democratic congresswoman from Arizona. Almost everybody knows her story, so we won't go through all of that. And as I was thinking about yesterday and having some pretty raw conversations, including with Republicans in my life, when something like this happens and you are in the political world in the way that members of Congress are, or in the way that I and my wife are, you lose some of the remove, and it feels like it is something that has happened to you, and you have to grapple with the potential that something like this could happen, not just to you directly, but someone you love or someone you know. And I say that as someone who got a voicemail from a distant, you know, a family member, not somebody I'm super close with and see all the time, who was like, "Hey, I know you're out there, and I just want you to know I'm thinking about you." And when emotions are raw, people are not at their best. I'm not at my best this week because of what we've lost in our own home. And so rather than descend further down that spiral of darkness that Dr. King talked about, the descending spiral of violence, I just think we have to try to show grace. I don't think Derek Van Orden thinks that the flag has dropped on the next civil war in this country. I think that he and people who are in the MAGA movement are feeling personally attacked and like it is something that has happened to them. And that is true. At the same time, it is true that we live in politically violent times, and it's the work of all of us, from, you know, organizers and activists to elected officials to our broader society. We have to find our way out of this. We have before, when you think about the length of time when Dr. King and President Kennedy and Senator Bobby Kennedy were all gunned down. That was an incredibly turbulent time in America, not just in our politics, but in our society and in our culture. And we found a way through it. And maybe the best thing we can do today is stop pretending that we don't live in politically violent times. We do. Gabby Gifford, Steve Scalise, Paul Pelosi, State Senator Melissa Homan, now Charlie Kirk, January 6th. These are politically violent times, and it is now the work of a generation to move beyond it, to remember that as much as I disagreed with almost everything that Charlie Kirk ever said on the platforms he had and how vehemently I disagree with his worldview, no American should ever face physical violence, much less murder, for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one. Mm-hmm. And now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity, not just at the micro level, but at the macro. Every American and everyone who aspires to be American and every fellow citizen of the world has some basic rights to live freely. And we as Americans should be on the side of, we want more people in more places around the world to enjoy the freedoms that this country has for a very long time, including the right to free speech. And so I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's how I'm thinking about this today is, okay, we're here. Now we got to get out of here.
Oh, we do. And there is no way but forward. You can't sit and dwell on this because we don't. We have moved along since 9/11, while not forgetting. We have moved on since Columbine, not forgetting, but saying, well, the next day is here. What are we going to do with this next day? Charlie Kirk was one of, on average, 300 people shot every day in America, every day. And about 125 people in this country every day die from gun violence. Setting aside the political notion of this, and you know that is the larger issue here, but we are a nation that is essentially figuratively under the gun, and need to remind ourselves that Charlie Kirk was one of about 125 people murdered by guns yesterday, and that discussion is not going to go away, nor is this daily list of carnage until some of our conversations turn to, how can we reduce this? How can we work together to reduce this? We're not going to agree on everything, but we got to find something. And I've left you all of 30 seconds here to give me your best answer.
Well, let's look to the helpers. Let's look to the people who are trying to make a positive impact, including some Wisconsin Democrats who, in memory of the late Jonathan Brostoff, are advancing legislation that would allow people to put themselves on a do not sell firearms list. That is legislation that I think even the strongest Second Amendment proponent would say somebody can say, don't sell me a gun for a year. I'm not in a great place. Mm-hmm. That doesn't solve all of this, but it gets us more focused on solutions rather than the awfulness of the problem.
It is a step. More with Joe Sopecki and some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's go, Brewers! you can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, this farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up next, Matt Nair on air, Greg Bach in, while Jane continues a little break here. Greg's guests include former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And Jim Santel will, of course, join us tomorrow as our usual Week in Review panel, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. All right, little point of personal privilege here, and then we'll get back to our conversation with Joe Zepecki. If you did not catch the very first part of the show today, that is where I shared my feelings on Charlie Kirk and his murder yesterday, and letting the record show that I am beyond angry at the idiot who committed this crime. He or she did not have permission to take a life, no matter how much you disagreed with that person. And I disagreed with this person a lot, and I put it all out there. Just after 6 o'clock this morning, because before anybody goes and turns somebody into a martyr, let's make clear what the record showed about Charlie Kirk. And then it makes it that much more upsetting to say the way to address that is not through a bullet, but through ballots. And we've had that theme today and throughout the day, I'm sure. But if you missed that and want to listen back, you can catch the 6 a.m. hour either through the Civic Media website or follow the program on Spotify or on Apple. We're going to turn our discussion now to 9/11 and commemorate that with just some memories and remembering the sacrifices and the souls that were lost. Joe, I'll go first and say that on September 11th, 2001, I was actually sleeping in because I was anchoring the 6 and 10 o'clock news. And so I got a call from a friend and coworker saying, turn on your TV. And at that point, I just could not take my eyes off the screen for about 2.5 hours, right, shortly after the second building collapsed. And the phone rang, and it was my news director saying, you better come in. And we started doing live local updates, because remember, at the time, nobody knew. Nobody knew how many planes there were. Nobody knew that this was pretty much restricted to Washington, D.C. and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and also to, you know, New York City. We didn't know. So there were local updates throughout, and we were on air until just after midnight, and we signed off and got in my car and cried like a baby. It was just such an anguishing day. And I don't know your memories at all, but I did want to give you a chance to share either memories or observations.
I was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater on 9/11. The summer just before, I had been an intern on Capitol Hill. And I think some of what I remember of that day informs how I'm feeling today in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, and what I said, that there are folks who feel like it happened to them. And as someone who had been on Capitol Hill every day going to work during the summer, and that, you know, as throughout the day, as we didn't know if more planes were headed to the Capitol or other parts of DC, it was terrifying. And there's an Alan Jackson song, you know, asking, what did you do? I called my mom. I was that sophomore in college who fell asleep watching CNN at night. Spoiler alert, I've been a nerd for a very long time. And when somebody in the hallway was banging on doors and telling people to turn on the TV, I turned it on just as the second tower was hit. And it's a day that it's hard to put into words what it has meant for this country. But this morning, I am certainly, and maybe there's a through line and a theme here, thinking about the helpers, thinking about the heroes, whether it's Todd Beamer and the crew of Flight 93, who saved untold lives by storming the cockpit, whether it's the man in the red bandana who raced into the World Trade Center to help people get out, whether it's the 343 New York City firefighters who knew as they went back in that they might not come out. And there have always been people who are willing to do the right thing and try to help others, even when the odds are against you. And maybe that's the way we have to connect what happened yesterday with what happened 24 years ago, is we all need to remember that sometimes it's pretty easy. There's a right and a wrong, and helping your fellow man and woman, being somebody who does the right thing and tries to be of service to others, is something that we can all do. The heroes of 9/11 were not politicians. They were ordinary folks trying to live their version of the American dream. And may all of those lives lost memories remain a blessing. And, you know, may we all get through all of these dark, scary times into a brighter future.
And let's just all be better to each other. And to that end, on the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, Joe, sending love to you and your family as we have recently gone through the loss of a dog. Thank you for keeping us grounded during these difficult times. And again, it's just nice to see. It's nice to see the shreds of humanity, which are necessary, because I think we're doing a disservice if we don't point out the instances that, you know, endanger our peace and our unity. And that sounds divisive, but let me reemphasize, calling out somebody else's divisiveness is not divisive. Calling out somebody else's racism is not racist. Calling out somebody else's sexism is not sexist. Let us look for those ways that we can be better to one another without overlooking the shortcomings and the challenges ahead of us. And I think it's just more dialogue, Joe, with people like you that are going to get us there.
I hope it helps in some small way.
Yep.
Appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate you as well, sir. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a good day out there. And thanks to all of you for being here with us as well. Again, Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Greg Bach in, and then Todd Alba at 2 o'clock. And so much more all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we will do this again tomorrow morning here up north, bright and early at 6 a.m. In the meantime, follow what we do over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Sign up for our newsletters. And remember, you can pod this program anytime as well. Have a great day.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. Officials in Utah providing an update on the investigation into the killing of Charlie Kirk. FBI Special Agent in Charge Robert Bowles.
We have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle.
Kirk, the conservative political activist, was shot and killed yesterday at Utah Valley University while holding an event for his organization Turning Point USA. That gunman, thought to be positioned on a rooftop more than 100 yards away, is still on the run. The U.S. is now dealing with its highest inflation numbers since January. New data out this morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics finds inflation is now 2.9% higher than this time last year, driven primarily by housing costs. And in New York City today,
Brian G. Ahern.
Jeremiah Joseph Ahern.
Mourners are remembering the September 11th attacks by reading out the names of the people who died that day. This is ABC News.